Good day out there. This is John Shomo, your host of The Fifth Quarter, our college football podcast. We review week 11, a busy week 11 in the college football world this week, and preview week 12 and how some of the conference races may turn out. We're getting a bit clearer picture of that now. So let's get started. We start today on a sad note. Condolences to Kirk Herbstreit and his family on the death of their dog, Ben. If you've gone through that, you know what that is. And just the best shout out there to the Herbstreits. Okay. Moving on. Week 11 had some crazy results. Here's one that I took note of particularly. An old familiar friend at the end of the season chasing league titles is Appalachian State. They are in trouble, may not get to bowl eligibility this year. They are 4-5 going into week 12 with only two games remaining. They host James Madison and they are at Georgia Southern. Those are two very good teams. They lost this past week 38-24 to Coastal Carolina. App State only plays two more games because they had a game canceled due to the hurricane that devastated Boone, North Carolina, and areas in the western part of the state. But it certainly would be strange not to see App State in the postseason this year, but that's a distinct possibility. What we're looking at now, and as I record this, it is Monday, Veterans Day. The MAC has some crazy games left. In the MAC league standings, there are four schools that are 4-1 as we record this: Bowling Green, Miami, Western Michigan, and Ohio, with Buffalo and Toledo one game behind at 3-2. There are some big games this week that we'll go over a couple of those when we get to our featured games segment of the podcast. Looking at where we are, I think more so than reviewing a lot of games from this past week, let's look at where we are in the conference races. Besides the MAC, we have an interesting setup in the American Athletic Conference. Army is undefeated in conference, undefeated overall. They're 9-0. They're 7-0 in the conference. They play Notre Dame this week at Yankee Stadium, which will be something. And then they host UTSA with a chance to cinch, if you will, a spot in the championship game for the American Conference and complete a regular season of 11-0. Here's the catch. The Army-Navy game stays in mid-December. Mid-December is after the conference championship games. That will be a non-conference game, even though they're both now in the American Athletic Conference. I know that's probably very confusing, but Army closes its conference schedule this week, with their game against UTSA. The Navy game will be for everything that it's always been about. It doesn't lose any luster, in my opinion. But Army could go 11-0 regular season, get to the championship game, play a conference championship game on December 7th, and then turn around and play the Army-Navy game on December 14th, and then possibly play in a college football playoff game the following week. It's an amazing situation. Nobody really foresaw this happening, I don't believe, at the beginning of the season, but here we are. Anyway, Army is 7-0 in the conference. Tulane is 6-0. Tulane is at Navy this week. Talk about a big game in that conference. That's huge. They go to Annapolis and play Navy, who is 5-1 in the conference. So Tulane Navy winner, I believe, has the inside track to face possibly Army in that American Conference championship game. That would mean Army and Navy would play back-to-back weekends. I'm not sure I even like that idea. But that's the that's a distinct possibility. The Tulane at Navy game this week is huge. And Tulane finishes with Memphis, not an easy task either. So that bears watching for sure. In the ACC, we now have an outright leader. It is the Southern Methodist Mustangs. They had a bye week and watched everybody else seemingly go crazy in the ACC. Miami was defeated, as you may know. Clemson is 6-1 in conference. Miami is now 5-1 in conference. They do not play each other. SMU has that inside track to the conference championship game at being undefeated at this stage. In the Big Ten, we are where we've been for several weeks. Oregon and Indiana at the top of the heap, undefeated, 7-0 in conference. Ohio State and Penn State both 5-1 in conference. They obviously had their big game in Happy Valley a week or so ago. We'll see how that shakes out. Ohio State versus Indiana is the key game. The Buckeyes have to take care of business at Wrigley Field this week against Northwestern, and then they will host the Hoosiers, who are off in Week 12. The Big 12, we have some clarity at the top. BYU's stunning last-play win at Utah this past weekend has them atop the standings at 6-0, followed by the Colorado Buffaloes. Deion Sanders' bunch is 5-1. There are four teams at 4-2. Those are Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona State, and the dogged West Virginia Mountaineers. But if Colorado continues to take care of business, they will likely face BYU in Arlington for the Big 12 title. Conference USA, they had some pretty crazy games, particularly the Jacksonville State game over the weekend. That was crazy. Western Kentucky and Jacksonville State are both 5-0 in the conference with three games left. Sam Houston is 4-1. And Liberty has fallen to 4-2. They are in danger of missing out on that conference championship game this year. In the Mountain West, we have two undefeated teams in conference, Boise State and Colorado State. They do not play each other. So if those two schools continue to win out in their remaining league games, then they would face each other for the Mountain West title. In the SEC, it's crazy. Everybody has at least a loss. Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Texas are all one-loss teams in the SEC. Tennessee and A&M are 5-1, Texas 4-1. Obviously, a very exciting finish coming up in the SEC, and it will be well covered on ABC and the ESPN family of networks. In the Sun Belt, they have two divisions still. They're the last conference to have divisions. Georgia Southern and Marshall are tied atop the East Division at 4-1. The West Division, Louisiana Lafayette, has a two-game lead. The Ragin' Cajuns are 5-0 in conference, two games up on the pack. So they certainly look good to make the Sun Belt title game. The Sun Belt East, we have Georgia Southern, as we said, and Marshall. So that's a wrap-up. I wanted to do that this week because we're getting right down to it now, where we stand in the conference races. We pay a lot of attention to the poll and now the College Football Playoff Committee's rankings, as we should. But let's not forget those conference championships. They're awfully important to those schools. So we'll keep an eye on that as we move forward. In other news this week, there were two major upsets at the top of those new college football playoff standings. Ole Miss triumphed over the Georgia Bulldogs down in Mississippi, and Georgia Tech upset Miami for the second year in a row, this time down at Grant Field in Atlanta. So Georgia and Miami were the number three and number four teams in the first college football playoff rankings. They have lost. Be interesting to see on Tuesday night where the committee places Georgia and Miami in the pecking order. That pecking order, by the way, just for your refreshment here, Oregon was one, Ohio State two, Georgia, Miami, as we mentioned, were 3-4, Texas 5, Penn State 6, Tennessee 7, Indiana Hoosiers 8, BYU was 9th, Notre Dame 10th, Alabama and Boise State rounding out the top 12. Obviously, that's going to change. It'll be fascinating to see where those teams shake out after last week's actions. Okay, those aren't seedings yet, by the way. Those are just the rankings. The seedings are a different thing, and I don't want to get into that right now. Ohio State will play Northwestern this coming weekend at Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago at Clark and Addison. I hate the idea, personally. It's just not a good idea. Not enough field space. For the first game they played there in 2010 that Northwestern had played there, they had to go toward the third base dugout on every drive because there literally was not enough room in the end zone, in the right field corner, if you will. The Cubs had to actually create a removable box seat section around the third base area so that they could actually fit a field in. And they have played games there in the last couple of years where they were able to at least go both ways on the field. The turf is an issue sometimes there. Let's hope they've had time to, the turf has had time to settle in. The Cubs didn't make any playoffs, so that's a good thing in a lot of ways. Last year versus Iowa, for instance, at Wrigley Field, big chunks of turf were coming up where they had turfed over the dirt infield. That's a safety issue. That could pop an Achilles for somebody, and we certainly don't need that for any of those athletes. I don't like the idea. It's about 3 miles from my son's apartment in Chicago, but he's an Ohio State grad, but he doesn't want any part of it. He'll go to Wrigley for a game or two, baseball game or two in the summer, but tickets are very expensive, and I just don't like the concept. I know it's a money grab by Northwestern. They're going to play Illinois there in a couple of weeks as well, but not my favorite idea in the sport right now, to say the least. Let's move on. A lot of featured games coming up in Week 12, starting on Tuesday evening in the Mid-American Conference. Western Michigan will face Bowling Green at Bowling Green. Both are 4-1 in the league. That's a huge game in the conference. Central Michigan is at Toledo. Toledo's got to win out and hope for some help to get in the championship game. So that's a big one. Toledo hasn't always defended the Glass Bowl like they should, I don't believe. So let's watch. We'll watch the MACtion on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. But those are the two key games in the MAC. On Saturday, we have basically an elimination game for the playoffs in Acrisure Stadium at the Confluence in Pittsburgh. Clemson will be at Pitt. Neither one has been dominant. Pitt has now lost two games in a row after starting 7-0. The loser of that game will have three losses, and basically they'll be out of the chase. In the American Conference, we already highlighted Tulane at Navy. Tulane is into the American Conference title game with a win. Navy would have a leg up on getting there and playing Army, as we talked about previously. In the Big 12, Arizona State and Kansas State. Arizona State will go to Little Manhattan and play Kansas State. That's a conference championship game, elimination game, I would say. Both of those teams, one of them will be eliminated from the Big 12 race with a loss. One will still have some hope. So that's the one I'm watching more than any other in the Big 12 this week. In the Big 10, other than the previously mentioned Buckeyes game at Wrigley Field, Indiana has a bye. We're watching Nebraska at Southern Cal. That's a bowl eligibility contest there. Nebraska got to 5-2 and looked for all the world like a bowl team. Actually, they were 5-1, I believe. They haven't won since. They gave Ohio State a really good game in Columbus. They were blown out by the Indiana Hoosiers, and then they lost one they should have won after that. That fan base is just thirsting for a bowl bid. Hasn't happened since 2016. One of the great programs in college football history has not played in a bowl game since 2016. They're at USC, which has some issues, folks. USC is 4-5 with this game, and I know they finish, or next week they'll play Notre Dame out at the Coliseum. They may not get bowl eligible. If they go 5-7 or something like that, is Lincoln Riley going to keep that job? That would be tenuous at best. So Nebraska at USC is a pretty fascinating game, not for any championship reasons, but for different reasons, meanings for those programs. In the SEC, the big game of the week, there are a lot of big games really in the SEC, the way that conference is scrambled up. But I've highlighted Tennessee at Georgia. That will be an elimination game for Georgia. They have two losses overall. Tennessee with one loss could probably survive a loss at Georgia, and if they take care of business on the way out, probably be a playoff team somewhere in that 5-12 range. But the Georgia Bulldogs, perennial championship contenders, have their backs against the wall. Carson Beck needs to cut down on the turnovers, or they will be out of the playoffs this year. All right, let's go to our picks. We had been on quite a roll in the last few weeks. We were 23 wins, 18 losses, and one tie going into week 11. And week 11 did not turn out so well for yours truly. We had picked Indiana -13.5 against the Wolverines. Wolverines made a game out of it in the second half. A little bit of mismanagement of the clock, to say the least, by Sharon Moore doomed them in the end, and they lost 20-15, but they did cover. So that's a loss for the fifth quarter here. We had Georgia getting 2.5 over Ole Miss. That didn't happen. Ole Miss beat them handily, so that's a loss for us. We had LSU covering, getting 2.5 at home against Alabama. Jalen Milroe may still be running down the field in Baton Rouge. I'm not sure. Nobody stopped him all night. And Alabama routed LSU, knocking them out of the playoff picture completely and turning Brian Kelly's face the same color as his shirt, very purple, which tends to happen 2 or 3 times a year. Finally, Utah did cover. They were 4.5-point underdogs at home against BYU. That game, I know it ended about 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. I had fallen asleep in front of the television, woke up and watched the second half of that game. It was crazy. It's almost always crazy. That rivalry is just, it's really unique. There was a controversial holding call, and even though I tend to favor Utah in that matchup, I think it was the proper call, which gave BYU a first down when they were really hurting and deep in their own territory with about a minute to play. They went down, got a couple first downs, kicked a field goal on the last play of the game, and won 22-21. But Utah did cover for our lone win among our 4 picks for the week. So we went 1-3 in week 11, first losing week in a while. We're now 24 wins, 21 losses, and 1 tie on the season. So here we go with some week 12 picks. The first one, we'll pick Tuesday night's game up in Bowling Green, Ohio, among the flatlands there. The only hill in Bowling Green is the elevated tee on their golf course. There's one par 3 that has an elevated tee there. Western Michigan at Bowling Green. Bowling Green is a 7.5-point favorite. If you study this a little bit, Bowling Green has not held serve at home in some really big late-season games in the past few years. They may do it Tuesday night, but I'm going to take Western Michigan getting 7.5 points. I think Bowling Green will probably eke out a win, but eke out is the phrase there. That I if it was 6.5, I might go the other way. I can see Bowling Green winning by 7 and Western Michigan winning the bet. So we'll take the Broncos in that one. We'll pick Tennessee to cover a 9.5-point spread at Georgia at Sanford Stadium. They're playing really well. Josh Heupel has them locked in, I think. Georgia's a pretty desperate team. I mean, they could do it, but I like Tennessee to at least keep that one close. We're looking at the Nebraska-USC game. Southern Cal are 9-point favorites at home at the Coliseum against the Cornhuskers. I'm going to go with the Trojans here. I think that cross-country travel, although it's not as far for Nebraska as it is for most Big Ten teams, I think that's a factor. And I think Southern Cal probably feels a sense of desperation. They've changed quarterbacks, and at home we'll pick them to cover the 9-point spread. Finally, the elimination game in Pittsburgh between Clemson and Pitt. Pitt are 10-point underdogs. There's a question as to whether or not their starting quarterback is healthy enough to play this game. Clemson's got a lot more big game experience than Pittsburgh, and I'll pick Clemson to cover the 10-point spread. Pitt are 10-point underdogs. I think Clemson beats them by more than 10. So we'll take the Clemson Tigers in that one to stay alive, at least, in the race for the playoff. So that's what we'll go with. We'll go with Western Michigan getting 7.5. We'll go with Tennessee getting 9.5. We'll go with Southern Cal giving 9 to Nebraska, and we'll go with Clemson giving 10 points to Pittsburgh at home. So we'll see how we do, as always. It's a very exciting time of year if you're a college football fan. This is the season is always great, but we are really in the thick of it now. So most of the buys are over with after this week too. Everybody will be playing pretty much the last 2 weeks. And we'll have some, as we've seen, we'll have some incredible races for conference championships. And obviously the race for the college football playoff is well underway. So that'll do it for episode 13 of the fifth quarter. Tell your friends. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to us at our email address. Our email address is 3 good questions, THREE, 3 good questions fifthquarter@gmail.com. I'm John Shomo. This is the Fifth Quarter. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.